I'm so grateful to hear the bells ringing, calling us all into this sweet hour of prayer. It is good to be with all of you in worship, here in person in the sanctuary, and those who are joining us over live stream. We are glad to be together in this time of worship and know that the Spirit of Christ connects us. I would invite everyone, whether you are here in person or worshiping online, to register your attendance and let us know that you're worshiping with us. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you'll pass those down and sign in and then pass them back to the middle, that would be wonderful. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link available on your screens for you to click and let us know that you were here. If you're visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation and ways that we're trying to live out God's love in the world, you can share an email address or a mailing address, and that will give us an opportunity to reach out to you and begin that conversation. A few other announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon from 4 to 6, we'll be having our drive-through trunk or treat. So if you have little ones or you just love trick-or-treating. We can drive through the parking lot anytime between 4 and 6. If you came to give candy this morning, I had some people who had brought their donations. We're just telling folks to put those down in the fellowship hall right below us up on the countertop, and you'll see where those collections are taking place. Also this afternoon, we ask for your prayers for a group of us, pastors and a couple of lay folks who are going to the Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City. We have been invited, along with other large United Methodist churches in the United States, to gather and talk about the United Methodist Church and what that might look like going forward for those of us who want to stay together in the United Methodist Church. What are our dreams and hopes and prayers for ourselves as a denomination? So we would appreciate your prayers as we gather over the next few days and participate in those conversations. Next Sunday, during the Sunday school hour, we will have our annual church town hall meeting. This is sort of a state of the church gathering where we will be hearing from leaders of the congregation about how we're doing this year so far, the ministries that we've been able to participate in, where we are financially, and how we're looking ahead to 2022. So if you can come in person, we'll be upstairs in the theater at 9:45. If you're involved in Sunday school or have other obligations, you can tune in over live stream and watch the recording anytime after next Sunday. And I urge you all to do so because we want to celebrate together where we are in this moment in the congregation's life. There's another kind of town hall taking place this week. On Thursday night at 6:30, we are hosting our Metro Councilman and giving him the space in the theater to hold his district meeting this month. And it will be broadcast at 6:30 over live stream. And if you want to come in person, you're welcome to do that as well at 6:30. If that's not on your calendar, we want to invite you on October 28th at 7 o'clock to join over live stream with the Vanderbilt Wesley Foundation, the Methodist Student Ute group at Vanderbilt's campus, which our own Reverend Nancy Parker is the director of. They're having an online gathering, Connect and Celebrate. We'll get to hear some stories from Vanderbilt students about how they are experiencing faith and friendship through the Wesley Foundation. And if you're interested, just email Nancy and she'll send you a link to that gathering. All sorts of wonderful ways to learn and serve and connect with our God this day. We hear this morning the story of Jesus' healing of Bartimaeus, which for me is one of the most profound stories of connection and compassion and relationship with the living Christ. So I invite all of us to open ourselves to an encounter with our Lord and Savior this morning in this time of worship.
Take heart, our God is with us. Take heart, we are called by the risen Christ. Take heart, God's Spirit unites us. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Jesus, Son of David, we confess that we want to be a church ever reforming, yet we cling to comfortable ways. We want to honor your still-speaking voice, yet we are fearful of insights that challenge old assumptions. We want to live into your dream of unity, yet we fail to listen to voices of difference. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us and hear our prayers. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Kirk and Molly Meyer bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new life through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Kirk and Molly, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms it presents themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? Mm-hmm. Kirk and Molly, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Amen. Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the waters of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child?
Charlotte Reynolds Meyer.
Charlotte Reynolds Meyer. Charlotte Reynolds, I baptize you in the name of God, the Creator, Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. Callie, if you'll put your hand on your sister, we'll all put our hands on our sister and pray. The Holy Spirit work within you, that you, being born through water and the Spirit, may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Perfect. I'll move to the center. Just right here in the middle. Perfect.
Will the congregation please stand and face Charlotte Reynolds? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Charlotte Reynolds to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Charlotte Reynolds, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ
and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully
in the mysteries of the church, by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. This morning's lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God.
Spend a special moment with the children right now. So if you're online and want to move a little closer to your screen, and if you're out in the pews and want to come join me up here, we'll spread out a little bit and be happy to see your faces.
That's so sweet.
Come on up. Wow, what a good group we have this morning. Oh, your brother had a camp out. Okay. Oh, good. Fun. Yay! I think this may be the biggest crowd we've had in a long time. I'm so happy to see all of you. Hope you're going to come back for a trunk or treat later today. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to tell you all a pretend story, okay? Ready? Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Bart. And he was brand new at his school, and he went out on the playground for recess, and he saw a bunch of kids playing kickball. But poor Bart had a broken arm in a cast, and he couldn't play kickball with them. And so he sort of sat on the side and felt left out and felt kind of sad. But then there were two kids who came up to him, Oscar and Molly. And they said, "Hi, we're Oscar and Molly. What's your name?" And he said, "My name's Bart." And they said, "Why don't you come with us? We're watching a caterpillar eat a leaf, and it's really cool to watch." And so Bart stood up and went with them, and they became friends. There's a story today about a man named Bartimaeus. His name's a lot longer than that. But he was kind of left out. He was way over away from all the things that were happening, but Jesus saw him, And Jesus went out to get him and included him. And he was changed forever. So that reminds me that sometimes it's good to look around and see if there's somebody who's feeling left out. Maybe we can go and help them and be their friend. It feels really good when somebody includes you, doesn't it? Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you so much for all of these wonderful children who are here today to worship you and to show their love for you. They set such a good example for us. Help us remember that you love everybody and you don't want anybody to be left out. So open our eyes to see everybody. And if there's someone feeling a little left out, help us go and welcome them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. You can, if you're 3 to 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie, who's over there. And if you're 4, that's perfect. Go with Pastor Maggie. Are you 4? Well, you can go with Pastor Maggie too, to Children's Chapel. You're 3? Then you go with Pastor Maggie. You don't have to, no. You can go back and sit with parents if you want to. Okay, if you want to, you can go to Children's Church. If you're 2, you should probably go back and sit with your parents. Your parents will know what to do. Oh, that makes me so happy. What a joy to have all of those children and their enthusiasm and openness. It's very inspiring. So thank you to all of you parents who brought your children and helped us to get to know them and worship with them this morning. And I just love the story of Bartimaeus that Jeff read for us this morning. My prayer is that either through the words I offer today or in spite of the words I offer, that you experience a conversation with the living Christ today through this story and through the experience of Bartimaeus. Most of the people there that day didn't see Bartimaeus, or they didn't want to see Bartimaeus. The crowd was passing through following Jesus on his way out of Jericho, and Bartimaeus was over on the side of the road. He was blind, he was poor, he was begging for money, begging for help. And maybe there were some who just didn't want to see his poverty, didn't want to see his need. Maybe it was just too raw for them, made them too uncomfortable. Or maybe they were just so used to seeing him there that he'd become invisible to them. And it didn't break their heart at all just to keep walking past Bartimaeus because he was there every day. We can't help him every day, right? But even though there were many in the crowd who didn't want to see Bartimaeus or couldn't see Bartimaeus, Mark, the gospel writer, wants us to see Bartimaeus. He tells us the story of Bartimaeus, and he actually seems to want to lift Bartimaeus up as an example of what true discipleship looks like. And so we're invited into this story to look through the eyes of Bartimaeus and experience this encounter with Jesus and to see what Bartimaeus has to teach us. Now, there's some things we know about Bartimaeus right from the beginning. His name means son of Timaeus. So at some point, he belonged to a family somewhere. He had a place where he was loved and he belonged, but that's not the case anymore. Whatever family he had, it seems, has abandoned him and left him to fend for himself on the side of the road. We know that he is blind, but he hasn't always been blind. He asks Jesus to let me see again. And at the end of the story, it says Bartimaeus regained his sight. So he was able to see at some point, but he lost his sight. And I wonder if knowing just this little bit about Bartimaeus, we can already identify with him. Maybe there are some among us who know what it's like to be abandoned by people to whom you used to belong, to be cast out of family, to be cast out of a circle of friends, or even not welcome anymore in a congregation. Maybe we know what that abandonment feels like. I imagine that most, if not all of us, know what it feels like to be blinded and confused and thrown into darkness. All of us have had some of that experience in this pandemic. The things that we thought we knew, things that we thought we could rely on, are certainly suddenly taken away. And I've talked with many of you who have questions about, I don't know who I am anymore if I can't do my job the way I used to do it. Many who've even said, I'm not even sure who God is and where God is in the midst of all this. We know that disorientation and confusion. Some of us have been thrown into that experience through grief, a divorce, loss of a job. Many different ways that we can be lost and feel abandoned. And so there we are with Bartimaeus on the side of the road. And what Bartimaeus does, when he hears that Jesus is walking by, he begins to shout and cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now the crowd tries to shush him. Not sure why, it's embarrassing, it's too raw, don't bother Jesus, he's too important, all the different reasons, but they want him to be quiet, go away, you're making us uncomfortable, we don't want to hear about it anymore. And Bartimaeus shouts out all the more loudly, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Even in this moment, Bartimaeus is teaching us, if you know what it's like to be shushed, if you know what it's like to be on the margins and to be told to be quiet, we're tired of hearing about it, stop asking to be recognized, Bartimaeus has something to teach. Keep shouting. Shout all the more loudly. Trust not in the voices of the crowd, but in Jesus of Nazareth, who knows your worth. And trust and have faith that he will hear you and he will see you. Maybe Bartimaeus can teach others of us that we need to be more honest and open about our need for mercy. I sometimes am a little too polite and reserved in my faith, as if God is too busy and I got it pretty much under control. But here Bartimaeus is, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Is that not a prayer that each and every one of us, if we allowed ourselves, could cry out? And so Bartimaeus teaches us how to pray. And his faith in Jesus is well founded because Jesus stops and stands still. And then he tells the crowd, the ones who've been shushing Bartimaeus, call him here. Isn't that a beautiful teaching moment where Jesus makes them go and get Bartimaeus? And suddenly it seems their attitude has changed. They say, get up, take heart. He's calling you. And so Bartimaeus, notice what Bartimaeus does. He springs up. And he throws off his cloak and he goes running to Jesus. I wonder, when was the last time I sprang up to go into prayer? When was the last time I ran to worship? When was the last time I sprinted with joy to go and serve in the name of Christ and love other people? But Bartimaeus is so moved by Jesus' invitation, so excited by the trust that he's placed in Jesus, that Jesus has indeed seen him and invited him, that he springs up and he throws off the only possession he has. Now you remember 2 weeks ago, we met a wealthy man who Jesus invited to follow him. He said, go and sell all your possessions and follow me. And that man couldn't let go. He couldn't do it. But here we have Bartimaeus, who has one cloak to his name. Maybe even the cloak he'd had on the ground to collect the coins people gave. Maybe he just threw all the coins and the cloak up in the air and ran to Jesus. And then Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Isn't it obvious, don't you think? I mean, isn't it pretty clear that someone like Bartimaeus wants to have his sight? But Jesus asks the question. Maybe it's important for Bartimaeus to ask it, to put it into words himself. Or maybe there's a deeper need that other people don't see, but that Bartimaeus and Jesus see. I don't know, but it just reminds me the truth of something someone said this week. Jesus isn't so much the answer as Jesus is the question. Jesus is always responding to people with a question. What is it that you want me to do for you? Can we let Bartimaeus invite us into that conversation? Can we put ourselves in Bartimaeus's place and see Jesus looking upon us with a gaze of love and asking, what do you want me to do for you? I don't give homework, but if I could offer that as a prayer homework this week, spend some time with Jesus in that question and see what happens. Bartimaeus knows what he wants. My teacher, let me see again. And Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Let me see again. What if that too were our prayer? Let me see. Let me see you face to face, Jesus. Let me see you, O Christ, in my neighbor. Let me see you in my enemy and in my opponents. Let me see the truth about the world. Let me see the injustices and the suffering of the world. Let me see myself as you see me. Open my eyes and let me see. Jesus says, your faith has made you well. The power of Jesus' healing and the opening of Bartimaeus' heart to allow it, he immediately regains his sight. And what does he do? He doesn't say, thanks, Jesus, and run back home to the life he had before. No, he praises God and then follows Jesus on the way. He takes a new road, a new path, following Jesus, a road that we'll find out in the very next chapter goes to Jerusalem, and to the cross, and to the empty tomb. Bartimaeus shows us what the response of a disciple looks like when you encounter Jesus face to face. There's an invitation to all of us this day to follow Jesus on the way. And if we do that, if we become one of those followers walking the road with Jesus, it won't be long before we have an opportunity to see someone else and say, take heart, he's calling you. Amen.
As a people called by God, I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join our voices together to affirm our faith in God using our affirmation of faith found on page 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you are worshiping with us online this morning, you may share them with our pastoral team by following the link under Contact Us on our website. And if you are with us in the sanctuary this morning, you may find one of the gray cards that's located in the pew racks in front of you, and you may place your prayer concerns on those and then drop them in the offering boxes that are in the narthex and in Reed Hall this morning. We have a number of West End members and families who have experienced loss in recent days. Our prayers are with Wills Oglesby and his family, who are mourning the death of his mother, Mary Jane Millard Oglesby, who passed away on October 14th. Private family services have been held. We also pray for Rick, Helen, Isabel, and Vivian Sanders and their family, who are mourning the death of Rick's sister, Leslie Montgomery, who passed away in Medford, Oregon, on October 14th. We lift up Lisa Wright and Louise Brooks and their family, who are mourning the death of Lisa's mother, Kitty Alvarez, who passed away October 16th in Kennesaw, Georgia. And we pray for Kathy and Eva Whalen and their family, who are mourning the death of Kathy's aunt, Janet Weil, who passed away October 18th in Asheville, North Carolina. And finally, we remember longtime West End member Glenna Dimple Franks, who passed away on October 20th at the age of 98. Services will be held at Spring Hill Cemetery on Gallatin Pike on October 28th at 10 a.m., and visitation will be 1 hour prior to the service. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of responsive healing love, as we come to pray this morning, we are reminded of the persistent and fervent trust of Bartimaeus. Help us also trust fully in your ability to take care of us. Help us believe that you know and notice the needs of each and every person. We shout out in prayer along with Bartimaeus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Indeed, we are people in need of your mercy, and so we lift the cares of our world to you. We pray for this planet that gives and sustains life, and we lament how she groans under the threat of ecological devastation at our hands. Jesus, have mercy on us. We pray for the people of the world, and we weep for all who suffer in the wake of war, hatred, lack of resources, and sickness. Jesus, have mercy on us. We pray for our leaders and those who have power in this world, and we mourn whenever they fail to use their positions to promote goodness and well-being for all persons in their care. Jesus, have mercy on us. We pray for our city and communities, and we hope they will be places of flourishing and well-being for all. Jesus, have mercy on us. We pray for families and friends, and we strive to build and sustain loving and mutually supportive relationships. Jesus, have mercy on us. We pray for ourselves and for one another, and we strive to affirm the image of God that is reflected in our faces and those of our neighbors. Jesus, have mercy on us. We pray for whatever is on our hearts and in our minds this morning, and we yearn for our prayers to be accepted as sweet and silent offerings to you. Jesus, have mercy on us. Lord Jesus, having sought your mercy and trusted in your good and faithful response, We boldly join our voices together and pray as you taught by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite Monty Wilson forward to give our ministry moment.
Good morning. My name is Monty Wilson, and this morning I have the privilege to speak to you about West End's Faithful Giving Campaign and why this is important to our family. I am here this morning with my family, for those that don't know. My wife is Bethany. She's in the choir, and I'm here with my two young boys, Samuel and Harrison, who are with me this morning. And we started attending, well, we first attended West End a little over 13 years ago, and we joined membership several years later and decided this was going to be the church where we wanted to raise our family. And we chose West End for several reasons. Number one is that really this feels like our church home, and it's important to us. There are many things that are similar to the church I grew up in, but there are a lot of things that are different. I grew up here in Nashville, but went to a church about 20 miles north in Madison, Tennessee. And one of the things that when our children were younger that was very important to me, that was very similar to where I grew up in church, was the simple act of passing the collection plate. I remember as a small child how important that was for my parents, and there was an importance stressed upon us, even as young children, that we were to give back to the Lord and to the church and for His work, and that was something that always stuck with me. As a small child, I would put something in the plate, and I remember my dad each week writing a check out. Well, when our children got older, that stuck with me. It always has, and I wanted to set that same example for my children. And so I started to do the same thing, and it meant a lot to me. I can be somewhat nostalgic at times, and it just felt very important. And so I remember actually having conversation with Pastor Michael, and I think I had one with Pastor Carol as well, about how important it was to simply pass that collection plate and how much it meant to me, that it meant something from my childhood, but also that I was sharing something and hopefully teaching my children moving forward how important that was. And I talked about how I didn't want that to go away, because at one point there was talk about getting rid of that practice. Well, little did I know that we would reach a pandemic and many things about church would change, and many of those things that people didn't like. So I remember we started as a family worshiping online, as everyone did at that time, because we were not able to come in person like we are now. And I remember the boys being like, Dad, how are you going to give to church? And I thought to myself, well, I'm finally going to have to change. I'm going to have to do something a little different. But what was important was the fact that my children realized that this was something that was still part of church, part of our family, and was important and something we needed to do. So I learned at that point that it's not necessarily important how you give back to the church. What is important is that you give generously and faithfully. So I changed, and I now give weekly by text, which is a little different, but I have adapted. And so with that, what I want to say is we move forward into the end of the year with Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we hear about where our church is and what we will be doing, for you to just simply remember that your generosity is a mark of discipleship, and that what you give funds so many things in the church that you will hear about in the weeks to come. But also just to realize that at times just your simple giving can make a difference, setting an example to others either in your family or in the church as well. So thank you for giving me just a moment of your time this morning.
Having said that, let us prepare to give our tithes and our offerings. And we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries, though, we just simply invite you to give as you are able. And for those of you worshiping online, you can find some of those new ways of giving through online means that Monty was just talking about, and those will be on your screen and in the chat. And for those of you worshiping with us, you can give online as well, or you may give a physical donation in those same offering boxes I mentioned a minute ago that will be located in Reed Hall and the Narthex at the close of the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
To invite those who are joining to come forward. I'd like to introduce you first to Frances Merritt. Frances is married to Jimmy. She is retired as a chaplain for the United Methodist Publishing House, and she's transferring from Southend United Methodist Church here in Nashville. And then Charles Gladwin Harding. Charles Gladwin is the owner of Charles Harding Gymnastics, and he's transferring from Brookmead Congregational United Church of Christ here in Nashville. Charles Gladwin, this first question is for you. As a member of Christ's Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
All right. And both of you, this question is for you. As members of the body of Christ in this congregation, called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, Francis and Charles Gladwin are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I invite those of you here in the sanctuary to greet these folks through the doors to your right following the service. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we might be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
story of Bartimaeus is our story. And now, like him, it is time for us to follow Jesus on the way. And as we go, may we keep our eyes open for those on the margins who need to be included and invited. And may we go on this journey with joy and peace. Amen.